Hi, and welcome to this edition of NGINX Community Chats. Today, we're coffee clutching on community, F5, and open source. From the German, coffee clutch means coffee and gossip. And as that name applies, this is a very informal chat. During this, you'll get a chance to hear and meet some of the people behind the scenes here, both at F5 and NGINX, and maybe you'll even learn something new. I'm Dave McAllister, open source technologist here at NGINX, and with me today is Boo Lam. Hi, Boo. Thanks for joining us today.
Dave, thanks for having me on. I'm super excited to join you on this, actually.
So give us a quick background on yourself, Boo. What do you do here at F5?
Well, that's a great question. People ask me that because I appear in a lot of different scenarios. So if we just go by my job title, I'm a community evangelist on F5's DevCentral community team. I know we have a couple pockets of community, and I've been at F5 for almost 14 years, 13 and a half years at this point. And the first 10 years were spent in the sales organization, where I was a sales engineer for 10 years in Vancouver, Canada. And then made the move over to the community team. During COVID, when everybody was rethinking their lives and where they're headed, and I had some similar thoughts and thought I was due for a change.
So that's kind of interesting. So yeah, I go by technologist, but basically I run around the community and talk as well. You're probably the only person I know who travels as much as I do. Actually, I think you travel more than I do. Not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, so you mentioned DevCentral, and the NGINX has its community, but what is this DevCentral thing?
Yeah, if I go back in history of F5, we had our big IP platform, of course, and then we introduced something called iControl, which is a control plane programmability. It was Cobra-based at the time and quickly moved to SOAP. And then we also introduced iRules, which is the data plane programming framework. And between those two, you know, those two things are not things that F5 would necessarily support in terms of like a specific type of usage of it, but can support in terms of like, oh, is the actual function working or not? And so when you don't have normal means of support with the ability to customize this any which way, then you form communities around this so that collectively a lot of people have a lot of knowledge. And so if we can harness all of that, we can actually support something together. And so DevCentral was born out of that. It was, I have a picture of it and I should have brought it. It was literally a computer sitting underneath someone's desk in product development. And it was hosted on there. And then it just really developed from there. So iRules really took off, iControl really took off. And so the community took off along with that. And of course, not just the programmability side of things, although that was like a core part of it, but all of the other parts of F5 kind of fall into that as well, because it just makes sense to harness everything together. So DevCentral exists as a community, a name of the community, but it exists as message forums, it exists as GitHub repo, it exists as YouTube channels, social media channels, and it exists as evangelists as well, who are kind of just out there and talking about community and interacting with community. So myself, Jason Rahm, and Aubrey King are the evangelists for DevCentral.
So yeah, Mike, I'm on the NGINX side, and I just sort of joined in the middle of the same time you kind of moved over to this space. But my introduction to iRules was in discussions throughout the company around WebAssembly, an open source project near and dear to my heart, in which one of our former employees had actually written an iRules model with WebAssembly, which could take any iRules from anybody and make them run. So that was my introduction to the iRules side of the house for this. Mm-hmm. But you know,
I was there for that.
Yeah, DevCentral is I think pretty big, pretty complex. But what's the one hidden gem that everybody should make sure they go check out?
I mentioned it briefly just now, but the GitHub repo, and that's actually at github.com/f5devcentral, is probably lesser known. So on DevCentral historically, we had something called CodeShare, and it's gone through a couple different versions right now. It's in flux, let's say that. And the GitHub for DevCentral is very, very lively, actually. So if people go check that out, you would expect, hey, a lot of technology vendors out there will just kind of have like their tools and stuff and whatnot in there. And there's actually a separate F5 GitHub repo. And so the DevCentral repo is actually a community repo. So people can do a pull request there on whatever our sales engineers out in the field, as they're working with people or they come up with ideas, they can put them into DevCentral and develop them together with others. Our labs are actually developed through there as well. So if people attend our academies or app worlds that have labs hosted, even the Nginx ones as well, those are actually all developed inside of the DevCentral GitHub repo and then pushed out in various ways. Like we use the restructured text, so it gets compiled into that and hosted. But there's actually a lot of just hidden gems inside of that hidden gem of little tools and knickknacks that hopefully make your life better when you're working with F5.
So you've just answered sort of one of the questions I would normally ask, which is how much open source is in this F5 and DevCentral thing here? But so let's change this a little bit and let's talk about open source briefly in the broader aspect. What do you feel is the current state of open source in general and inside of F5?
Well, that might get spicy because I think in the last 18 months or so, we've seen some interesting things happen out there in the vendor space with things like HashiCorp, with Red Hat, and what they're doing with Fedora as well. And I think there's like some
Elastic did this. Did this. Yeah. So what are called source available versus open source?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a fantastic way to describe it, actually. So I think there's like an uneasy feeling around, okay, is the spirit of open source what it has been all of this time? And I perceive the spirit of open source as in collectively we can solve a problem because no one person or closed group of people can solve it. I find that within F5, so, looking at it from that point, if the outside world is a little bit uneasy, I have found that I collectively, and it's always been like this within F5, there's a lot of people willing to help if they kind of understand the problem that you're trying to solve. And it's interesting as well. Sometimes people don't like the boring projects, but some sort of collective, interesting goal to try to achieve. And it is achievable if you just put enough people together. And then one little point I'll make on this as well, and I don't even know if I've answered the question, but last week I was at NVIDIA GTC, and I don't know if you follow Yann LeCun at all. Mm-hmm. He's the head of AI research at Meta and a professor at New York, University of New York or something like that. He actually told a story. I got to sit on a fireside chat that he was doing, and he told a story about the Llama models that were released by Meta. And he said that there was actually a competing model being developed at the same time at Meta in Palo Alto. Llama was being developed in Paris by a dozen people, and it was an open project for people to contribute to. The other model that was being developed was in Palo Alto. It had a ton of resources, a ton of people thrown at it. And of course, the Llama one won out and became like the leading model that they released and on goes from there. But it was interesting because he was very much an advocate for, we can't solve these problems in a closed environment. Some of these problems are really, really big to the degree of like a huge language model. And so the more people and the more ideas that you can collectively harness, you'll be able to get to the outcome way, way more efficiently, even though it doesn't sound like it makes sense when you've got a bunch of people just kind of contributing, but you can solve big, big problems through collective harnessing of minds.
You know, one of the things you mentioned right at the beginning there was that people are nervous about what could be taken away, license changes, security breaches, all those different things come into here. And, Nginx being one of the largest used open source projects in the world, we actually went out and made a statement right after this started happening saying, we will not change the license. We will not remove features from our open source code just so that they can move into a commercial side. That's actually been very well received because, it's basically, it's a statement, a declaration of intent, but we think the community is a little more important than just the ability to thrash them with a license change. So what's your favorite non work-related project?
I actually watched the episode with Joel Moses, and he stole the one. I shouldn't say stole, but you know, I would have actually said home assistant as well. And it came at an opportune time because I'd been playing with some home automation stuff, as everyone does when they get their first smart power outlet, but got far more into it over the last few months. And so I was just amazed that home assistant is this whole, you could sell it as a product. Like, it's that beautifully run at this point with all these people working on it. So that's a beautiful project. But because Joel said it, I came up with another one, which is the what I've got behind me here, which is a MAME cabinet. And so I love my late 80s, early 90s arcade games, because that reminds me of my childhood and my weekends spent at the arcade. And so the MAME project is fantastic because it just allows you to play, you know, everything that came out of my childhood. And, you know, people have contributed to it to make sure everything works. And I know that takes a lot of time as far as testing. Like, there's little variations among all of the arcade boards that existed out there at the time, and the way that they were running based on CPU frequency and the timing for refresh rates and whatnot. So that, you know, solving all those problems was really cool. So I would say that would be my number two. There would be the MAME project and all the associated emulators as well. Don't know if that incriminates anybody as far as like legalities of stuff. I just found it on the internet, but I like it.
Yeah. So with you, that makes three people voting for Home Assistant. And I will tell you that at one of the conferences, I was sitting through a talk and the guy was demonstrating something new that he was putting into Home Assistant that just, my mind was boggled. I how easy it was to do and how quickly he could make something new happen and integrated was just absolutely amazing.
And you got to imagine like how big that is, like how many different vendors make smart switches, make smart power outlets, make different panels, make all of these things, like just the immensity of it. And to be able to do that in a project is super cool.
Yeah, it is really an amazing project. And that's the third time that people have brought this up. So I would suggest maybe go checking it out just to see what's behind there. So, you know, in your travels for F5, you've talked to a lot of people. Who's the coolest person you've ever talked to?
You. And then second from there, let's see. I'm trying to think of who the second person would be. Recently, well, this is just top of mind because it's recent, but Kevin Deerling from NVIDIA. He is the senior VP of networking. So he basically came over with the Mellanox acquisition. Now, I mention him and I name him specifically because sometimes you encounter these people with very, very senior titles, and you're like, for me, I'm like, oh, like, I got to be careful here. And, you know, I can't, I got to watch what I say or be professional and whatnot. And the guy is just super cool. Like, he strolls in and he's really casual. He talks about his farm and farming and whatnot. And he's just the easiest person to talk to. And just for that, for like somebody who's, he reports to Jensen, he's like, you know, the layer below, the top guy at one of the most valuable companies in the world. And he's just not arrogant whatsoever. He doesn't come with like an entourage who's blocking him and everything like that. I know Jensen has to do that for safety purposes, but, you know, he doesn't fly with any of that kind of stuff. Just super cool. And so for me, that was like one of the coolest people I've gotten to chat to just because he was cool himself.
Very slick. That's amazing. So let's sort of wrapping back around to beginning here. You know, Dev Central obviously has a lot of things that can be brought into play, from its open source roots to its knowledge base and its information. But how do people get started with Dev Central?
It is as easy as going to community.f5.com. You can just create a login, super easy from there. And as I mentioned, that's the forums itself, and then there's the GitHub repo as well that obviously is just open. But just going on and asking your questions on there, I know usually when you Google stuff around F5, you'll find Dev Central anyways. You'll find community.f5.com. But some people, you know, try to go to Stack Overflow, they go to Reddit and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, questions will get answered on there, but just coming over to community.f5.com and asking your question on there, just realizing that there's literally tens of thousands of people that are on those forums, you know, actively over any given quarter. There is thousands of people who are looking at stuff. And so to get like a full and rich answer, I would encourage people to just go on. If you have a question, ask it on there. If you're experienced with F5, go on and answer questions on there, because we would love to nominate more MVPs. So we recognize our top practitioner level folks and contributors to the community. So we'd actually love to see people contributing and giving back, helping others learn. And some people have told me that they actually learn by helping others learn. And yeah. So they might have information bottled up in there. And the more that they can talk through or think through a question, they actually learn themselves. And so I think there's benefits both ways. But yeah, community.f5.com. I would encourage people to go log in and check it out.
Well, Boo, thanks for coming on to Nginx Community Chats and talking with me today about Dev Central and about what you do here and some of the insights you gave us on open source in general. And thank all of y'all for coming and joining us as well. Meeting some of the people behind the scenes here at F5 and Nginx and learning more about how open source impacts us on a daily basis. And with that, feel free to leave us comments, things you'd like to see, or questions you'd like to ask. And as always, may the open source be with you.